Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to the radio broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also want to invite you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in the study of God's Word. You'll find all these radio programs out there and MP3 files. We also have Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length on the website and other sermons and PowerPoint presentations along with correspondence courses and other things that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a view. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our desire is to show you need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, we want to continue our study in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. We began this study last week in looking at the subject of wearing the name of Christ. Let us begin by reading our passages, beginning in verse 15 through 19. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgments to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end of those be who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as a faithful Creator. Now, in these passages, we are examining the tribulation that comes and the fiery trial with wearing the name of Christ. Another New Testament passage affirms that Christians will suffer hardship, even persecution, and even loss of life because of their faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter admonishes his readers not to be surprised at this. Suffering is a very common theme in the Epistle of Peter. We read that in chapter 1 and verse 11, chapter 2, verse 19 through 23, chapter 3, verse 14, and verse 17 and 18, and chapter 4, verse 1, 13 through 16. So this should not come as any surprise. It is part of living for Christ. Peter already affirmed their faith would be tested by fire. We studied that in 1 Peter 1, 7. Suffering slaves and suffering Christ have common ground. We studied that earlier in 1 Peter 2, 19 through 23. So do all Christians suffer for doing good. We read that in chapter 3, verse 14, 17, and 18. Be mentally prepared to suffer as Jesus did. We read that in chapter 4, verse 1, 13, and 16. And suffering perfects our faith, according to chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, that we will discuss later. And like precious metal purified by fire, so the Christian faith is perfected in its suffering. The fiery trial, in other words, literal burning. Suffering saints are not strange or foreign or alien to the understanding Christian. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's just part of being a Christian. The hatred of the world fell first upon Jesus, and then upon His disciples, and then it will trigger down to us. Jesus warned us in the book of John that the world hated Him, they will also hate us. And so we need to be prepared. Also read John 16, verse 33. Jesus said to rejoice when we were persecuted. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, we can begin reading in verse number 10. Matthew 5, verse number 10. Scripture says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, are you when they revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil, and speak evil against you, for my sake? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they also persecuted the prophets who were before you. So what we see here is that persecution comes with being a Christian. The world is not going to like it. It's not going to encourage us, and it's going to try to derail us. So we should not be affected by that, and we should not be unprepared for that. We also need to understand the reward for the suffering's sake comes when Jesus returns on the last day. We read that in chapter 4 and verse number 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. But rejoice to the extent that you have been partakers of Christ's suffering, that when he is glorified and revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So again, we understand that the reward for the suffering's sake comes when the Lord redeems his own. The kind of suffering is reproach. In 1 Peter 4, verse 14, it says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. What is this kind of reproach? It means to revile. It means to slander. It means to blaspheme. It means to speak evil of another. For the name of Christ is in his name, or simply being a Christian. Blessed are you. This is the same phrase that's used over and over in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Happy, spirit of glory, spirit of God, rests and has an abiding presence with the saints. We also understand in the Hebrew concept of glory of God, we read that in Exodus chapter 24, verse 16, chapter 40, verse 34. It was also true of Stephen, as we can read in Acts 6 and verse number 15. So we must understand that reproach and suffering is part of being a Christian. It is part of the parcel that we will receive for serving Christ. To revile for the name of Christ is his name, Christian. Blessed are you. We are to be happy. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. The Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God, the abiding of the Holy Spirit and his presence are with the saints through the Word. The Hebrew concept of glory of God can be seen in Exodus 24 and Exodus 40. And again, as we mentioned, it is true of Stephen. No Christian ever be guilty of murder, theft, evil doing, or being a busybody. If so, their suffering is just and not to be considered in the previous admonition. You deserve that suffering, and you deserve that rebuke, because you are violating God's will. Read 1 Peter 4, verse 15. Evildoer, a lawbreaker, a criminal, regarding any infraction of the law. Busybody in other people's matters. That means belonging to another. And we need to understand we're there to help, but men don't answer to us. They don't give an account to us. They give an account to God, and therefore, he's the only one that they need to account for. Now, no Christian ever should be guilty of breaking the law. They need to be faithful and lawful and live in accordance with the law. Why? Because we belong to another. And Peter himself understood that back in John 21. Verse 21 and 22, the Christian's reasking the suffering for righteousness is not shame, but it's glory. It glorifies God. Why? Because we've been obedient, because we exemplify the name of Christ. Peter and John acted in that way. Go back and read Acts 5, verse 41. The season for judgment, the time for judgment is to begin at the house of God. It begins with us first. For the time, it is the season, the time is now. For Peter's readers, as they prepare judgment, the severe trial, where it began in the Lord's sanctuary, the house of God, the church in the pillar of the truth, 1 Timothy 3, verse number 15. We must go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom. We're told that in Acts 14, verse 22. Not the final judgment day, but the present time of great suffering. Eternal salvation is for the righteous, is an abundantly provided for all who will take hold and will follow and be obedient to the Lord. Eternal salvation. This salvation will be difficult. Why? Because Satan is going to try to deceive us and discourage us. The doom awaits the unbeliever. Therefore, if the church under God, ever-loving care, ever-watching eye, is now to undergo a sore trial, how much worse would it be to dwell among those who stand under his constant condemnation if they did not have him with them? You see, we need to consider God. If the righteous one is scarcely saved, will the ungodly and sinner appear? This illustration enforces what we read in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 15. This goes along with Exodus chapter 3 and Mary's relationship with this fiery trial causes Christians to suffer only because they're seeking to be faithful to God. We need to understand, what's the conclusion then? Logical consequence is to trust God through a difficult and undeserving period of extreme suffering and persecution. Where could I go but to the Lord? We sing a song. Where else could you go to find comfort and find hope and encouragement? It's identical conduct that Jesus did when he was reviled. We studied that earlier, 1 Peter 1, verse 21 through 23. In Revelation 6, 9 through 11, the Christian justice is not in this world. Our justice will be given to us on the day of judgment. Commitment. Technically, to deposit money with a trusted friend. We read that in 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 12. The exact words by Jesus that were used in his death. Remember when he was facing the cross? Remember when he asked that their sin not be laid to their charge? But look at what he said in Luke 23 and verse number 46. Luke 23 and verse number 46. Jesus said, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, having this, he breathed his last. He committed his life to his Father. He knew that his life was in good hands when he committed it to his Father. Now, let me bring this to a close. Persecution as a Christian is inevitable. The world always resents those who are different. The Christian's attitude under suffering and persecution is the crux of the matter in this chapter. It's a good attitude will see him through. A bad attitude will destroy him. View persecution as a test of faith. Only the true Christian will be persecuted. The Christian who compromises, who plays down the differences, who accommodates himself to the world, will not be persecuted. Persecution is a sharing of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. We should have fellowship in those sufferings. Suffering leads us to glory. Read Romans 8:17. After the suffering comes the reigning, 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. And the cross is the way to the crown, 2 Corinthians 4, and verse number 10. We also are sharing in Christ's suffering. We will endure our time of persecution. We'll be faithful, even if it means our death. That's what Revelation 2 and verse 10 says. What about it, dear friend? Are you going to suffer as a Christian and lose your faith, or is it going to make your faith stronger? It's a choice you must make. Let's hope we make the right one. Have a blessed day.